Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
And I'm Tom Scholey.
We've been threatening to do it for a while, man, to David Mazzucchelli, Daredevil Born Again Artist Edition, where we focus on the actual nuts and bolts of the illustration. But first, Jimmy, what do you have?
Patreon.com/Jim Rugg. You can go and download my out-of-print zines and mini-comics, like this collection of ballpoint pen notebook drawings. I have about a dozen PDFs on there now that patrons can download. You can also see a lot of my original art, like these artist editions. You can see how I make the comics I make, like Street Angel and Octobriana, and a whole lot more on patreon.com/Jim Rugg.
Tom, what do you have?
Here's Jack Kirby. You can find out about his role in the creation of Daredevil and many other comic book characters. This is Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics. I also did Fantastic Four Grand Design, which approaches the size of this Daredevil artist edition. And you can check out my Patreon. Go to patreon.com, search Tom Scholey to see all the comics I'm currently working on. And watch my YouTube channel, Total Recall Show.
Red Room Comics are in the wild. Two issues on the stands as we speak, with new comics coming out every 4 weeks. Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit is the name of the game in the Red Room universe. Each issue completely self-contained. Come out every 4 weeks or so. Order and pre-order these comics. Get them put on your pull list at your local comic shop. Or order them directly through the Fantagraphics website at the link tree in the description below this video. Or if you want to read the comics ahead of time before they hit paper, go to my Patreon. Patreon.com/Ed Piskor. $3 for the archive there. Put new strips up every Tuesday. Have well over 100 pages on the Patreon as we speak. Good value there. Now, we were threatening to do this because previously we checked out the actual nuts and bolts of the narrative, paid attention a lot to the story of Daredevil Born Again when we went through the issues, and we made a very clear effort to try not to talk about the art so much because we all are custodians of the great Daredevil Born Again artist edition, where we can really look at this artwork at a molecular level.
We can start with the cover, man. I love seeing the details of how he makes this nighttime skyline look so good. And when you look at it at this size, you can see the roughest drawings for windows, just lines over top of each other. Very chaotic compared to like ruling out perspective or using straight edges, yet it reads perfectly. I always think of Mazzucchelli the first time I stayed in New York above a certain level and you could see all the rooftops out the window and it was like, it looks like a Mazzucchelli drawing. And I always think of that whenever I see like the Daredevil stuff, but it's just gorgeous.
Look at this great shadow.
Amazing.
Lost the Eisner to this book, man, for design when WYSIWYG was up against it. And you know what? I deserved it.
This is one of the great artist editions. We've looked at quite a few, and I think there's always a range in terms of what's great. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, from the get-go, this thing is stunning. And when you get to see the blown-up artwork, like these end pages.
See the whiteout.
Oh, I just love it.
Yeah, man.
That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a lot of whiteout, a lot of mess.
Process.
Yeah, process.
There's a ton of it in this one. Like I said, I think it's one of the great artist editions, and it's for that reason.
The disappointing artist editions are the ones where the image is just perfect.
Yeah, just blown out. Like, honestly, that Michael Golden stuff where it just looks like a black Xerox.
Right.
Like a black and white Xerox. And even that Walt Simonson stuff is blown out that way. From the start, man, we're going to get that cover image. Here's a question. Because you see this, like, Marvel paper and stuff. So it seems like it was probably, like, this is kayfabe. The vellum is kayfabe.
Right.
This was drawn on a piece of paper. This was drawn on a piece of paper. You got the registration marks. So, like, what you would get, I might still have a rule of these. Scotch, like, the Scotch tape people created the rules of tape that had these registration marks. So it was just basically Scotch tape. Put one down here. You put one down. You put your paper over top of it. You match those things up as close as possible so that when it's time to actually print this stuff up, they do the same thing at the print facility, try to make it work.
And you see right away getting into all these textures that are visible here.
Duotone. You could see the texture here. Like, it's not always just those parallel lines or anything.
But duotone, and then your white media coming in back on top that's, you know, really grayed out at this point, but you can still see it showing up there.
Just, like, captures that noir mood immediately. Karen Page, man. We've never seen her in such dire straits. One of the great silhouette shots.
Absolutely. Breaking the panel border.
great silhouettes and also the great use of grays and, again, textures to create that atmosphere of clouds and dusk.
Just totally making this thing work as a black and white image. Then when he hands it off to Max Scheel, hit it with the final treatment. We'll see this motif play out throughout, man. And this is a Zip-a-tone screen that gets plied down on there.
I wonder if the splash pages were a Miller idea or a Mazzucchelli idea. To repeat that kind of...
It feels like it's structurally part of the story. I imagine it's a Miller thing. And it just fits this... each story ends with him. He's got to get to bed. And each one begins with him waking up in an increasingly more bizarre bed.
Doesn't feel like there's any faking any of the accessories that you see in any panel. You know? You could probably find that exact machine. And that same goes for every piece of furniture. Just really speaks to the morgue files. And
mm-hmm. I was admiring the kitchen.
Yeah.
The previous page I was admiring is like a bay window inlet that he walks past. And it's those details really do make this sing.
The big feature of Daredevil, he's the blind superhero. You never see those eyeballs. That seems like a very deliberate choice.
I mean, look at the ceiling. Yeah. The detail in those tiles. Man, Mazzucchelli's amazing.
There's some really nice offices throughout this series.
You can mistake this for an EC kind of Johnny Craig page. It doesn't have the hatching and stuff of a Jack Davis or those guys. But I mean, we're seeing real drawing here, man. This isn't kayfabe Marvel Comics type drawing.
The great use of blacks. Before we get overrun by digital coloring. I mean, this is what guys would do. This was a real skill set.
Just things like this, man. Leaving negative space to imply all that snow.
And the grays, a lot of times gray is just left out of the equation.
That's another, I've mentioned it on past videos, it surprises me, when do you decide to apply these grays? Do you have an extra 10 minutes and you're let me put some screen tone on this page because the deadline's not oppressive enough?
They would always talk about just balance, right? And focal points. And, if you got this white figure on that white background, to your eye, as the gestalt of the image, you got to make your guy pop. From the end papers, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, end papers. And then one of the iconic Daredevil images, just diving off a rooftop.
Heck of a figure drawer.
He really is special in that regard. I mean, I think he's the best of the Marvel DC figure artists.
Just that application, still implying that snow texture really, really well. I feel like there's some sort of lung cancer story that is dangling after seeing that panel.
Give them enough time, they'll mine all these panels. Another use of that screen tone, beautiful, makes for a really nice original page.
It's interesting seeing how they print too. Some of them kind of lighten.
Yeah.
In a surprising
heck way. Of a scene, man. We get Daredevil in, we get him out. Very dramatic.
Another great kitchen. Man, so much of this feels like Sin City, I think, because it's in black and white and the snow really kind of creating those stark whites. I mean, this feels like it could be right out of a Sin City panel.
Is this
there.
Before Genius. Or after Elektra lives again?
Before. In terms of print chronology?
Yeah. There are pages that show up in 86. You can find them in Amazing Heroes and stuff. So he worked on that, I think, over the course of about 5 years.
Now we're getting to my sweet spots, right? The shit that I love are flashback sequences told in duotone board.
Very awesome.
And duotone paper, very, very expensive stuff. Even back then when it was more ubiquitous and you could actually get it at a better art store. So what we're seeing is paste-ups where you get a sheet of duotone board that's bigger than the field of view of this video. And rather than just waste the whole sheet just to color one piece in, it's the old Wally Wood trick, man. You just cut out the panels that you need. So you would have all these various, almost like your Zip-a-tone, right? You would have these half pieces of paper with little bits and bobs cut out of it, man. So, on one sheet, you could get this, and probably, and several more tiers worth of.
Love seeing the white media that he's putting on, in this case, on top of the duotone for the snow, but also smoke from the Kingpin. And then, to me, this panel, so good for capturing light and it feels like those screens are really glowing.
Mm-hmm. In terms of character, too, that is a desperate looking, humans as animals, this is a tiger roaring, man. And he is defensive.
Yeah, you see all the muscles firing out of him. Take note at home, because you'll see pages where Daredevil looks very graceful. That is not this moment.
So when you see this term surprint, that surprint red, surprint blue, that's color holds. So there's a missing layer of transparency here. Maybe it's the stuff that's on the TV screens or something. I'm looking at this and I have no idea what the surprint would be here. But that's when you're going to see that a lot, and that's what it's indicating. Just some color holds where the inked line is a color.
Boy, Junkie Karen Page always stands out to me.
We're going to see a couple of good ones, man. All when he emaciated. Really, when he really figures out those eye sockets.
Well, yeah, because I think like the last time you've seen her up to this point is like a classic Gene Colan, like nice, you know, cartoon character kind of drawing.
Great lighting on that face.
I saw somebody make a comment or a question, and it was about spotting blacks, whenever we say spotting blacks. So spotting blacks is basically, you know, like your eye goes to these big dark fields, especially in a black and white art like this. It's a way to create points of focus or to create movement, to make your page more dynamic and interesting, to create separation between certain panels. And so when we say spotting blacks, that's kind of what we mean, is like eyeballing it, you know, figuring out how to balance, how to create those focal points.
Balance is the key word, because when you speak a focal point or something, if you just have this look like that on the page of all white, your eye's going right there every time, no matter what. So now you have to balance that off,
right,
and get some blacks in the other sections of the image, just so that
there's some variety. Yeah, you're not staring at a fire hydrant.
This page is absolutely blowing my mind.
Yeah. I know, right?
I love seeing like the break from the nice, clean, straight edges to show to every element is in service of this explosion of his brownstone, of his life crumbling around him.
Yeah, his
you get to see what he sees, and then you get to see him reflecting it. It's great. What a page.
Fascinating to me that he's not using white media here. You know, we've seen him use so much, but this is all drawn practically.
It's a
little dry
explosion.
Brush or whatever, man, but it's all drawn practically, and he didn't go in with any white to cut things in, which I find to be an interesting choice, because he did, you know, bust out his pro white there for a little bit.
He's lit from below, and then you have shadow from his upper lip going on his teeth.
It's incredible. This kind of hatching reminds me a little bit of Zaffino.
Yeah.
You know, not just him. Who knows where Mazzucchelli's getting it from. What strikes me is that he's doing so many different kinds of shading and textures and lines throughout this. Because I think of this as like, this is mature Mazzucchelli, but yet he's still got like, I don't know, 200 visual bits that he's using and applying in different places.
How about this for a mature Mazzucchelli, man, many years after?
He was selling these at, I want to say, New York Comic Con around that time period. I had seen these with him there. I think I got an issue of Rubber Blanket I was missing. Like, he had some beat up copies he was selling there. This is another one of those great pieces that I absolutely adore.
Looks like he actually ripped it up.
Yeah, it's really believable.
Yeah, you see like little bits.
And you know, it's a visual idea. It's like another way to make your art interesting. Continuing with those splash pages repeating. Boy, that's a much less comfortable bed than we saw in issue one.
Yeah, he's getting a downgrade. Each
and it's
issue.
always, you know, it's called Born Again, and we see him as a fetus.
Mazzucchelli on the colors on this issue.
Yeah, I think we called that out.
Probably.
You know, it's like the cliffhanger at the end of a lot of these issues is kind of like, okay, now I'm going to start kicking ass. And then you get to the next issue, and then like we take some steps back. It's like, okay, maybe not right now.
We made note in that video that the cliffhanger is a hopeful thing rather than a literal like cliffhanger. And you don't see that in periodic, you know, serialized storytelling often at all.
What a great portrait of Kingpin.
And once again, that serpent, we know there's a cool cityscape or something there.
Skyline.
Yeah, you should try to keep, if you can.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, check this, if you go back. So this is, you know, so much fun, that stuff.
That's your surprint.
You know, we saw some of that in
reminder
in the
of Mazzucchelli doing coloring.
Yeah.
You get all those colors on the page.
You're about to say something, Tom?
Well, just it kind of reminds me of some of the stuff we've seen in those Jim Lee X-Men issues. You know, probably imitating this.
Surprints on almost every other page, man.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're going that far in. And another one of the cities that just looks like looks so much like Sin City, so many of these bits.
Yeah. Great choreography on his fight scenes, man, with like very realistic human kind of punches. It's not John Buscema violence.
Right. Great use of like your floor tiles too.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Miller left and then he came back and, you know, had a couple, you know, new ways he wanted to approach things.
I never think about it that much, but oh man, I'm always amazed by like, look at this interior, yeah, crowded bar scene. When you think of like Sin City shows up and everybody's like, whoa, Sin City, look at, you know, it's so graphic and stuff. I mean, Miller's been looking at original art in this form for decades. Like, you know, when you see this, I go, oh yeah, Sin City, perfect, come right out of this. But we don't see this until decades later, you know? Like, Miller's seeing it and registering, recognizing, like, there's some power in this.
Yeah.
Like, you could do black and white and really, you know, knock people's socks off with it.
Draws that good hot dog on the back of Fat Man Bones. You don't see that in comics often.
It's very hard to draw that. This was one of those pages that spoke to me when I got this artist edition. Again, because of how much media he's putting on there to create that. Screen tones, white media, beautiful drawing ink.
It looks really incredible in the printed version as well. This is like a multi-generation. Like, if you look at the issues, you could see that way clearer. But I don't know how best to do
that. Yeah, this isn't a bad collection, though, as collections go, because it's like not coated paper.
Yeah, uncoated paper
it's
paper
got
helps.
The dot screens. I've seen some really bad
great
renditions
silhouette.
Of this comic.
We keep going back to Kingpin's office. And then it's up to Mazzucchelli, like, how do you make it look good each time? I've already shown this a couple times.
Got the evil Santa Claus imagery.
That's really cool. Whenever they include these bits, man, that's worth the price of admission.
Really drawing with duotone now, you know, almost like inked lines on the duotone paper. Oh, man.
All the duotone and then this origin reminding me of Ninja Turtles.
Absolutely, man. Pulling back the camera.
Great lettering.
Yeah, great
it's
spreads.
So graphic.
Great spread. You know, slowly pulling
spending
it
money on that duotone board, by the way.
Yeah. Some more of that Sin City stuff.
Totally. The chain and everything, the links.
This was one of my favorite pieces when getting the artist edition, just seeing what he did to like make these statues. You could almost do a zine. Like these are real, you know, Rockefeller Center statues or whatever, and they're drawn in comics a lot, like throughout the history of comics and things, and it would be fun to see how everybody interprets that, because this is the best approach I've ever seen, and good luck doing that twice. Another surprint piece, putting actual zip on that
another classic silhouette. Man, when I did the silhouette zine, there was a lot of pulling from this story. Very good with the shapes of all these figures.
When you are introduced to this lady, you know she ain't up to no good, man. She is up to no good.
And then obviously, like, changed his mind about what was going to go on in that panel.
Just a redraw, maybe.
Yeah.
More of your junkie Karen looking
just
like a junkie.
Just getting worse and worse. Just getting sicker and sicker, man.
I'm so impressed anytime you see, like, a street scene.
Yeah.
The cars look good. The texture on the ground looks good. All the background details feel right. He's a hell of a New York City artist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, like, most of these guys lived in New York City at the, you know, 80s and earlier. Like, everybody potentially saw this stuff.
Right.
Mazzucchelli just turned it into comics gold.
He was really paying attention.
Bad, bad news when you have a love interest smiling in a Frank Miller Daredevil comic. It's going to be trouble.
I also wondered, coming into this, Ed, about his dumb line. If, you know, you start to see that emerging here before he gets to Batman Year One. I mean, this is his last tune-up for that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of personality in this stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely not the dumb line.
I picked up an issue of Amazing Heroes where he's being interviewed. He's in the midst of preparing and putting pencil to paper. We're going to have to unpack that interview as an episode.
You know, this is some of those cityscapes that I talk about where you look close at this artist edition, it's just line. Like, it's almost raw lines.
In exact proper perspective, this stuff is, but that's just like a mishmash. You know, that's the old Kniff tricks. And just
look
like
how
that
good the bricks sell.
Yeah,
little bit of luminosity with some white media, that looks like it's just like just dry brush, I guess.
Yeah, and probably something that I missed in the comic books. You know,
sure.
Reading the comic book reproduction, it's just such a subtle piece. I also think if you're the editor and these pages are coming into you, you had to be doing backflips. you know, I mean, like, you see a million pages every day, and then you see this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the other Mazzucchelli stuff on Daredevil was no slouch.
Like, sure, yeah, a lot of good stuff.
At least he's not a fetal position guy anymore.
And we got, like, the shadow of foliage, which has its own character.
You see versions of that in the old EC artist editions and things. Seeing bits like this, it's the first time we said Toth on this video, but I feel it and I see it here.
Yeah, because like by the time he's doing Batman Year One, it's like full on Toth.
We're probably overdue in this episode for saying Toth.
Yeah.
We probably should have mentioned that a few pages ago.
But then we get into this abstract.
Yes.
And then it starts to make me think of his future progression, Asterios Polyp, Rubber Blanket. But the jump from this to that stuff is Batman Year One, and he doesn't really employ this in Year One at all.
What do you think he's looking at and pulling that?
Raw Magazine, man. Some of the Munoz and stuff, maybe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, later on in here, there's, like, a specific reference to Der Schrei, that, like, painting, you know, like one of his faces of, like, you know, freaking out.
Talk about Sin City, right?
Yeah.
I think Frank Miller learned a couple of things, man. Because it's not just the Venetian blind shadow noir piece. It's the approach of it. Because we would see this often in comics, no doubt. And it would be much more delicate. But these are chunky lines. They're just whoosh, 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 slash marks.
I love the silhouette on your Daily Bugle signage on the top of the roof with that troubled sky behind it. It's all perfect.
It's like a Pittsburgh sky in Manhattan.
It could almost be lightning bolts, you know, instead of smoke coming down the page.
Really great J. Jonah Jameson as character in this.
Yeah, this is almost kind of like a remake of some stuff that happened in, like, Miller's regular. He did kind of a story with similar beats where Jonah has to talk Ben Urich, you know, into, like, you know, telling the truth and stuff.
This kind of cross-cutting reminds me very much of Miller. I feel like him coming into his own with that cross-cutting.
This makes me think of, like, McKeever, even.
Mm-hmm. McKeever, I saw that in that previous phase.
You know, a little Kriegstein, too.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is where it's... Like, that's where it was headed.
It's all based on emotion. Has nothing to do with just... you know, capturing a face.
As bizarre as that is, I feel like this arm is the same kind of bizarre. It's a different style, but it's still, like, very abstract in how you're representing the form of that arm.
Yeah, and once you slap on color, it just, like, reads.
Look, he liked it too, so he photocopied it. It's a good arm.
Interesting texture right there.
Yeah, and you get, like, these more, like, open... This again, heading into actually, like, late period Sin City kind of look.
Just like a high contrast photo type image.
Gorgeous.
Which I don't doubt that maybe it is. You know, like one of our assignments in art school was to take a photo, a complex photo, light box it, and turn it into an icon. Like an iconic image, meaning, you know, spare lines and stuff. Yeah, just pull out everything that you need.
When you think of all the shitty photo referencing that goes on and almost tracing of images, like, that's a good skill to develop.
This makes me think of, like, Ralph Bakshi cartoons would have these kind of, like, montages and stuff where there'd be, like, a super giant face. Nothing on the same plane. It's a montage.
It's very, very Sin City-esque and also, like, high contrast photo in some parts.
Yeah.
And, like, Mazzucchelli was kind of, like, his direction he was going was more of this, less of everything else.
Selling you on the triangle design with line, man. Like, drawing the fucking triangle.
Yeah, getting meta.
I always loved the silhouette through the gym window.
The Fappers.
This is awesome. I love the lettering.
Yeah, and
very
and
cool.
Here's Batman Year One. There's Flash.
Totally. Totally. Distortion through the peephole. Wow. Who would attempt to draw a distortion through the peephole?
It looks so good, too, man. You know, he probably lived in a walk-up and, like, hey, Richmond, give me a favor,
just
man.
Just stand outside.
I have this screen.
It's a pretty detailed screen to be using and then shrinking down.
Yeah.
It's really detailed. Plus, it seems dark.
Say the word Kriegstein again right here.
Totally. And that checkered in the background, the tile.
Man.
right into Sin City. I feel like Miller's taking notes for Sin City all through this.
Yes, sir.
Well,
why not? He's not alone. I mean, I think we all do it now that we have access to it.
In a way, Mazzucchelli is building on a visual language that Miller established in his Daredevil, you know, prior to this.
This is the stuff right here, man. Like, that's probably like one of the best emaciated faces. And this is something we didn't see at all yet, man, where he's busting out the grease pencil on like either some Bristol vellum or some coquille board or something. And this like as a kid, this is like one of the pages that have affected me the most when I was a little kid reading comics, like seeing the guy out there, seeing the reaction, seeing that smile, like it just felt so hopeless. It's scary. Also that right there.
Almost like, alien.
It's like Master Race. Yeah. I really was freaked out by this character. He's got that triple fat goose bubble coat.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole situation all around is so desperate for Matt and Karen.
Look at the line quality of some of these shadows. They're so jagged and just kind of like
dry brush.
Yeah.
Good pose with his weight on his arm.
His kingpin is killer throughout. But, you know, like these marks are very abstract for a superhero, like muscle delineation. This is not what you were seeing in comics. Man, he's great in black and white.
I mean, and it's an action scene, so it makes sense that the lines are a little more like rough and tumble.
It's very fast. This whole sequence feels like it's has a real urgency to it, and it should. It fits the tone of the story great.
Shouts to Joe Rosen, man. Great serif font.
Remember in the old days you used to have that?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Nookie. Isn't that his name?
Is that how you translate when you were a little kid? I imagine this was a tough book to print. Need to get one.
Yeah, I was going to say there should be like multiple surprint, two surprint overlays on this one. What a pain in the ass.
Like the original Apple logo.
You know, the other piece this comes from is like Dark Knight Returns. It feels like you talk about him building on Miller's visual vernacular, and it's like it's not just Daredevil. You know, it definitely feels like Miller would have these dialogues through his art with these artists that he'd worked with at this time.
I like this.
Yeah, that's nice.
We've not seen that at all, and I think that's a direct, like that's the only pen application we've seen in this comic so far.
Such a great contrast with your silhouette plane.
And look at these construction workers, you know, like that this line, the line work on this guy, it's like heavier than the foreground guy.
This feels Tothian to me.
Oh, yeah. And that was definitely posed
out. Almost feels like different, you know,
like
that
an
line
illustration
work,
style.
Well, even a different tool, like he's doing rapidograph or something quick on there. Some of the line work, you know, you see it on several of these figures from these last couple of sequences.
And this is a different story.
Like these lines, amazing. Just pen nib lines, you know, you can see them.
Wow.
By the way, drawing like gel bars, underrated, one of the worst things to have to
absolutely
draw.
And you learn things, man. You know, it's white media doing the trick here for the most part.
Yeah, it's a nice thing about having these artist editions. I'm sure he does it the best way.
Grease pencil again.
And so his more like rendered drawn version of Ben Urich is starting to like merge into that like Krigstein cartoon language. Like the cartoon language is becoming part of just like the actual like rendering of the character.
Yeah, even a caricature of the if that character's design.
Another like great office.
Imagine being the poor bastard who has to cut the little star shapes on your plate.
It really is interesting to compare chapter one to like the final chapter.
Well, like when we were doing research, these last two issues are not Born Again. It's a different story called God and Country. So it ends with the hug because the tone is so different.
That's the thing that always struck me about this is it feels like the rhythm is different than a Miller thing. It feels more episodic. It feels almost like an Elmore Leonard where there's like the final act is almost like a whole other movie.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting into Rambo territory here.
So you won't hear any complaints. I enjoy seeing people do smoke and fire also, because that's one of those almost abstract elements if you're trying to draw it. But this goes back to that New York skyline of just, you know, I would see guys who lived in New York that would draw these details, and it was like clearly they would just sit on a bench and draw this stuff enough that they had it in their language.
Well, how about this for language, man? Smoke as overlapping zippitones to create moiré patterns.
I don't think it comes from this, but Eddie Campbell does that kind of stuff where he'll overlap.
Krigstein did
those things.
Krigstein did it.
Pretty wild. Another one of those, like, look closely at how he's constructing buildings and you'll be shocked by what is there and what isn't there.
That feels Jansen.
Loose, very loose lines.
That feels like Jansen lessons in there. I always love the machine gun in straight trajectory. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. You see it there.
Yeah, with the great DeLuca effect.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I love the evolution of Ben Yorick's, like, the way he's drawing him. It's almost like he's, like, trying something new out every panel.
I go down this page, and as you get up here, it's almost sketches. Mm-hmm. They're so loose and quick.
It seems like it's always in the action scene, so it just seems like a smart choice.
I feel like that's a David Mazzucchelli self-portrait right here.
Looks like. It looks like something you would see in a rubber blanket issue.
That famous image, man.
Badass.
That sort of kind of mirrors the Bullseye Daredevil when they're on the line and falling backward.
That's some really cool stuff. That feels like something right out of an action movie. Guy's on his back now on this car shooting up. This is always one of my favorite sequences of early comics that I would read. Well, I thought it was such a cool depiction of the superheroes.
It's sort of like, this is the Miller version of that Alan Moore page that was calling out like the gods of DC Comics and the Swamp Thing issues.
Yeah, and it's like the ground level view of it. Like we're in a ground level book and ground level view of these sort of like gods. And it's like the way this amps up is like Dark Knight Returns, how by the end it's all this like Superman, it's all this like godly kind of stuff. He like, you know, builds
that could be
to
traced
that
out of Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Strikes Again, you know, the second one. And you kind of see like, oh, what would it be like he did Dark Knight 2 where he got to play with like the whole Justice League. What if he did like a Daredevil where he gets to play with the whole, Avengers?
This is something I never think to do, but it adds so much. Mm-hmm.
Just a little something, yeah.
Creates that depth.
Some atmosphere. Atmosphere is really hard to depict in like a black and white, you know, pen and ink thing. And that's an easy way to do it.
There it is. Definitely Coquille Board pulling out like Andrew Loomis tricks or something, man. Steve Rude likes this page.
Yeah, this stuff always makes me think of Steve Rude.
Amazing silhouette. I love the red line there.
And I love his buildings, like when he comes up with like, you know, like a crazy building that's just going to stand out from everything else. Super simple.
All these bad generals and military guys giving weapons and shit to, you know,
and Akira drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, you know, Miller's RoboCop 2, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, there's the general character in Dark Knight Returns. That's cool. Such a cool character, and surprising that Miller would do such, like, you know, his Marvel coup de grace and create, you know, a character that people dig, but you never forget him.
This looks like a rough. Look at how raw that is for drawing.
Well, yeah, Nuke is the late 80s Captain America.
Right. Yeah, for the 80s. I mean, that could be right out of a rubber blanket.
Decade. Yeah, it could be. It's neat because, you know, like it shrinks down. Like we're looking at it here big, and it feels very, very raw and rough. But, of course, it shrinks down and just tightens right up.
With this exact zip, that feels like Steranko, like the Steranko Stan Lee couple issues that they did together.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say I see Wally Wood there, like especially the lettering and stuff, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's bringing in like, you know, Captain America language. He's, you know, bringing in the language of all these characters.
I love the storytelling here, man. Smash, falling out, pratfall, going through the roof of a building.
Yeah, it's like a movie storyboard or something. And this is some classic Captain America kind of stuff where you're like, you know, stopping a whole row of guys.
I wonder if there was any backlash against this kind of stuff at the time. Like, we looked at Jim Aparo Batman, and I think of it as from a similar time, the stuff that we looked at, and it's a totally different take. You know, the texture, the world, the atmosphere, the character, body language, it's all completely different. Like, it's a cartoon, and this feels like something else.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like there was, like, a little bit of, like, a moral panic in the 80s about these, like, sort of dark superheroes that, like, you'd see on, like, an episode of Current Affair sure. or something.
And I guess they're chasing that.
Yeah, right, it gets headlines, yeah.
And you can see if you're somebody like Miller who's obsessed with comics, whenever something new shows up, of course you're going to gravitate to it. You've seen decades of that more cartoonish approach.
There's that Bob Dylan album cover.
Right, yep. But that's not all, folks.
Love it.
That's amazing.
And this is drawn much later.
And that's your book collection cover, right?
You know, the whole story's here, man. We've got the nurse, got Nuke.
That is great. Yeah, a stained glass window as a comic.
Hell's Kitchen. Now this is the fun stuff. Breaking down the lettering placement for Rosen.
It's such a nice detail to get this kind of stuff in an artist edition.
Yeah, agreed.
And of course, Batman Year One, that absolute edition has all those layouts.
Shouts to Mazzucchelli. Shouts to Mazzucchelli for keeping a record of his work.
True that.
And I do think that Ford Follows Function kind of thing, like, Xerox your stuff in case you F up your inks.
That's fair, too. Really interesting to think if these are the level of pencils that then he goes to ink with. A lot of drawing in that ink stage.
Yeah.
I think about that a lot in my own process.
And just, like, imagine, like, fixing stuff up, because that's crazy looking.
Right.
And I'm not reminded of this when I see the after pages.
Yeah, he looks like Tommy Lasorda.
It's wild, because there's very little construction under this. You know, nothing obvious.
Could be blue line or something. It's possible. That didn't translate in the Xerox.
Yeah, it's possible, I suppose, but it just feels very loose.
And then now we're just padding. Oh, I guess showing the surprint.
Hmm.
How that looks.
That's true. Yeah, that's one of the deluxe. That's on every page. How much of that they did. Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, think about how different the comic is if, like, he draws, like, a line around every bar of the flag.
It's neat to think of the throwback to Klaus Janson, because he would do so much of that stuff on the Miller stuff and on his own, but on that Miller stuff. You know, if you're thinking of this as in continuity with Miller, I find that pretty neat, that attention to detail. This is an amazing choice for a blown-up end page, where you get to see all of the smoke, Ed, that you pointed out with the different paste-ups.
And it's actually different.
Or screen tones,
yeah, it's
rather.
Different screen tones, too. There's one with, like, closer dots further away, and he's just mixing and matching and creating just havoc on the page, man. You're filling those blades. Extra white up here, because you're looking through the helicopter blades. And when you get this, like, you're leaving some things up to chance. Also, like, he's communicating the blade by just having less zips.
Nice.
Genius.
Yeah.
Above.
Yeah, you see a change here into the fewer dots. The figure work, incredible. Like, this is a sketch of a figure, but as you get further along through the process, it's more rendered, more shadows. And those shadow lines, how raw are those things?
Now seeing how the roughness, just the like, kind of like, almost like sloppy quality of it, actually makes it feel even harder to achieve. It doesn't make it look easier. It makes it, like, this is even harder than doing, like, a precise drawing.
He clearly knows what everything is, where the lighting should be, and it's all in there, probably, like, you know, in, like, the preliminary stage, and then he's just giving you that fast kinetic line. I really feel like we're chasing that. Mm-hmm. You know, in conversations, it comes up all the time, like, off camera, where it's, like, you have this rigid blueprint, and then just trying to have the balls.
Yeah, to be loose. After all that hard work and labor, at the very last moment, to kind of, like, go in with, like, an easy breezy attitude.
Yeah.
Let me float this to you. He draws this image smaller than what we see here.
Right.
And then it's reduced even more, and it's printed, you know, with color and everything, benefit of newsprint, coated, uncoated paper, all these things. You get a totally different image. I look at this, and it might be my favorite image of this book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way it's presented here. Don't you, if you're him, or if you're any artist that works this way, don't you think, like, draw this way? Draw it, blow it up.
Yeah.
You know, think of like any of these panels would have looked amazing blown up like this.
Yeah, and then he did. Like he kind of did. Like you know, he starts, you know, drawn that way.
And if you take a look at footage in Frank Miller's studio, he's standing up. He's drawing on paper bigger than this field of view and just kind of sweeping his arms around. So, like, these are guys who have seen how the stuff reduced and comparing and contrasting artwork that's twice up to 11 by 17.
This is a great choice for an end page, though, man. Wow.
It was important for me to, like, scoop this artist edition up because all the ones that I had were drawn twice up, super big, and I really needed some evidence that you could do great art on 11 by 17 because that was like my, what I'm comfortable with. And, this takes, there's no excuse.
One of the great pieces throughout here is seeing where he's cropping. We often talk about like early, you know, like a young artist, you'll see like all long shots, you know, because they're trying to make things clear. They don't really have the confidence to do this kind of cropped in zoom. And that's one of the things that like a good artist on this 11 by 17 size is able to do that. You know, like they have that range from close up to long shot, and they're able to call on those things effectively. Because if you look at some of these pages, like they're not, it feels like they're full and they're perfect, but they're not that loaded with stuff when you start breaking them down. It's almost like the stuff that's not there, it's implied, it's negative space. It comes across as being super competent and full. But like if you look at this, it's only a couple of figures, you know? It's very rare that you get a full figure in a panel even on this page, and yet it never feels like you're getting shortchanged or shortcuts or anything.
Not at all.
You know, you think about all the pains he went to achieve different shades of gray, different colors with, like, the surprint, different color treatments. And, like, we have so many tools now that he did not have access to that didn't exist at this. So, like, there's, like, no excuse for us and our generation to not... You know,
there's never been an excuse.
Right, exactly.
You know, like you can find these great examples at any time period throughout history. Limited tools, as you say, bad reproduction, and yet they're still able to achieve this stuff that you look at for decades and decades.
Look at this one, man. It's two screens of two different screens. One with like the squares just slightly smaller than the other.
Incredible detail.
That's a guy who cares. That's a dude who cares about his craft. Pleasure to look at this. Mm-hmm. Inspires me to get right back to the drawing board and get busy.
It's much more raw than I remember it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just scratchy, very scratchy.
It tightens up beautifully when it shrinks.
I think that's a skill that's somewhat lost. Mm-hmm. And some of it, I think, is because we draw on screen, so you're able to draw, to zoom in and out. You know, it's like, I think that this generation had a better understanding of how things reduce down.
Yeah. That was always the common wisdom. Comic is not finished until you see it in print. That is like something that they beat into their heads. Spiegelman talked about that. The Kubrick guys talked about that. You know, the student, Bissett, Veitch, all of those guys. And it was about figuring out what your idiom is in this weird offset print, shitty newsprint, ugly black ink that bleeds. What do your hatches look like? Because sometimes that's just going to look black, and you need to figure all of that stuff out, man. You need some trial and error, and it's probably a couple of months, maybe a year, until you figure out, you know, that kind of style, technique, and get a little bit more comfortable with yourself.
Why don't we have a Batman Year One artist edition? Like, what is Mazzucchelli? Come on, man. What's going on?
Let's do it. We need it. It's important, man.
Yeah, after going through this, I really do need to look at that stuff now in its original form.
Absolutely. And you know, he's got the pages. They have the pages, man.
What a run.
You guys good?
Yeah.
Kayfabers. Like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. Jimmy, what's out there?
Join me on patreon.com/JimRug, where you can download my hard-to-find out-of-print zines and mini-comics. There are about a dozen of those available to patrons right now. You can see a lot of my original art, my version of Daredevil Born Again. Man, that's a tough one to live up to. But you can see all that and a lot more on patreon.com/JimRug.
Check out Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics, The Life Story of Jack Kirby. Check out my comics in rough form and various forms on patreon.com. Just search Tom Scholey. And check out my YouTube channel, Total Recall Show.
Red Room Comics in the Wild, two issues in print right now. New issues hit the stands every 4 weeks or so. order and pre-order those comics from your local comic shop, get it put on your pull list, or go to the Fantagraphics website at the link in the description below. If you want to read the comics right this second, go to my Patreon, patreon.com/edpiskor. $3 for the archive there. More than 100 pages are live as we speak. $3 for the entire archive.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jim, I have to go break all my pencils and put my ink in the trash can. Give them the marching orders. We're going to be on our way.
Make more comics.